The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah." Still others, "He is a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted him killed, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore her many things. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Students, what can you tell me about St. Paul Miki? Does anyone know any? Oh, I thought Coco might have an answer. Coco, who's St. Paul Miki? He's a Jesuit priest. What country was he a priest in? In Japan. Coco, where are you from? Japan. Okay, good. Anybody else know anything about St. Paul Miki? Madison. He was a martyr. That's right. That's why I'm wearing red. Today's feast is St. Paul Miki and companions. Do any of you know how many companions died with St. Paul Miki? Maria Sophia? Oh, 100. That's a little more. I can't think of your first. Guillermo. 26, okay, he was one of 26, there were 25 companions, but guess what? On the day that the emperor rounded up these 26 Christians, he had only chosen 25. About 20 years before, St. Francis Xavier came to Japan and he started to preach the gospel. And St. Francis Xavier was such an incredible preacher that many people decided to become Christian. Well, an emperor comes along and he doesn't want Christianity in his country. So he says, any priest in this country, you must leave or you will be martyred. And any people who continue to profess Christianity, you must renounce your faith. Otherwise, you will be martyred. And people said, we can't give up our faith. So this emperor, he gathered together 25. And then a young boy who was 13 years old came forward. And he said, if you're going to take my dad, and you're going to take the priests, and he was an altar boy, he said, then you must take me with them. I want to give my life with my dad and with the priests. If there's not going to be mass anymore, I'd rather not live. 13 years old. Raise your hand if you're 13. So our 7th and 8th graders. So this little boy, so what happened with these 26 is they marched for 30 days in the middle of the winter, in the snow. And the emperor, in order to make them suffer, he had them take off their shoes. So they walked for 30 days barefoot and with little clothing on. By the time they got to Nagasaki, where they were going, and with little clothing on. By the time they got to Nagasaki, where they were going to be crucified, even this little boy, 13 years old, they were so bruised and bloodied and beaten. Their feet were covered with sores. They were all bleeding. This little boy, the day before they started this march, he was in prison and he wrote a letter to his mom. And this is what a 13-year-old boy wrote to his mom, knowing that he was going to be martyred. He said this, "Dear Mom, Dad and I are going to heaven. There we shall await you. Mom, do not be discouraged, even if all the priests are killed. Bear all this sorrow for our Lord, and do not forget you are also on the road to heaven. You must pray for my younger brothers and sisters and our whole family, and make sure that they continue in the Christian faith. These are the dying wishes of your husband and your son. Goodbye, Mother, goodbye. I will see you in heaven." The emperor, after this event, for 250 years thereafter, if anyone was found with a Bible, with a rosary, with a statue, with a sacred image, they would immediately be killed. For 250 years, that's longer than we have been a nation. 250 years later, finally a Catholic priest was again let into the country, and he went and he started a tiny little church. He built this small little hut. After he had been there for a few weeks, two Japanese women came up to him, and they said, "Excuse me, what is this church that you are founding?" And he said, "I'm a Catholic priest, this is a Catholic church." And they said, "Can we ask you three questions?" They said, "We've been told a prophecy for 250 years that one day the Catholic Church would come back to our country. And we've been told that this prophecy would be fulfilled in three ways. Are you celibate? Do you, Father, do you have a wife?" And he said, "No, I don't. I made a vow of celibacy." They said, "Do you love the Blessed Virgin Mary?" And he brought them into the church and he said, "I've named this church St. Mary's." And he pointed out the statue above the altar. And they said, "We have just one more question. Do you obey the Pope in Rome?" And he said, "I do. Any faithful Catholic would." And those two ladies went and they brought out numbers of families that the faith had been preserved in for 250 years in secret. And the church began to grow again in Japan, all of it beginning with the blood of the martyrs. Let's ask a great grace today through the intercession of St. Paul Miki and companions, that we would have the courage of the martyrs to prefer heaven over anything this world could ever offer us.